You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, from the early stages of logo design to the late 19th century, a remarkable evolution has been marked by transformative shifts. Notably, this era witnessed a change which is characterized by the adoption of simplistic and minimalistic patterns of logo design. I know that all sounds very, very French and very, very Chinese Mandarin, but you and I are joined by Leslie to help us with this one. Good evening, Leslie.
Good evening, Mr. Takelo.
How are you today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for asking. How was your day?
Quite hectic, but we are here.
Okay. How many zeros now in the bank?
Hey, there's no zeros.
How? You're busy, so now I expect to get a couple of zeros. Oh, they're going to come at the end of the month. Someone said that to me yesterday. Like, nah, they come at the end of the month.
Yeah, I mean, it's the 7th. Let's wait.
Yeah. Let's wait. Yeah, quite right. It's the 7th. Let us wait. But once again, man, thank you so much for your time. We really, really appreciate you and your time. And I suppose, you know, we are moving into evolution and transformative things. And it sounds really, really exciting. But for me, who's a novice in this space, I'm thinking, all this English, you know, sounds very, very complicated for me. But before we even get into that, maybe you can just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and the company that you run.
Okay. First of all, thank you for having me back on the show.
Thank you so much.
My name is Les, and I'm the founder and creative director at Amahle Creatives.
Yeah.
And Amahle Creatives is a brand development agency where we work with mainly small SMEs, startups, in terms of developing and growing their brand, brand identity, brand strategy, brand marketing, all that kind of stuff.
Mm. Sure. It sounds like you've got a nice job when, unless, you know, you sit and come up with nice looking things there and then you invoice for that. Nice job, man, I must say, you know. Hopefully we can join you one of these days, eh? All right. Thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it. Now, please, in a very elementary way for some of us who might not even understand, what goes into a logo design? In other words, what would be the things that you say characterizes an appropriate and, I suppose, an intentional logo design? What is all of that?
Okay, so to be simple, what characterizes an appropriate logo or an intentional logo? There's just a few things.
Okay.
That make up a good proper logo, and the first one, first and foremost, it's simplicity, right?
Okay.
Your logo has to be as simple as possible, but not as plain, but as simple as possible, because that makes your logo basically recognizable across different media platforms and stuff like that. So that's the most important one, and following that one is, I think it also falls under that point as well. In terms of simplicity, makes it memorable. So your logo has to be, people need to remember your logo. Like when they see it on a billboard in town, they know that, I know that's SID Media, you know, memorable. And then it also has to be consistent. Your logo has to be consistent on different platforms as well. And then another one is, there's other things like color psychology. So you need proper colors for your logo. You can't have a health lifestyle logo being brown. I mean, you know, it has to be green and stuff. So those are like what we call color psychology. You need to choose colors for your logo. So Yeah, I think these are one of those things that make an intentional proper logo. There is a lot, but solid guidelines that you can follow when you're creating your logo.
Ah, I love that, love that. This color psychology thing, I didn't even know there was a name to it, because I think you're quite right. There's certain logos that when you look at, it will be very difficult to just even guess what that business is doing. And then there's those logos when you look at it, like it's a health shop, but it has a bull. And you're like, I'm a bull and a health shop. And I think I can resonate with that, because I'm already thinking about a couple of logos. I won't mention them. And businesses was like, Les, you've just mentioned something that I think a lot of us were not even aware of, that there's the psychology behind the color patterning. Just if I may ask here on this color psychology thing, is it a case of people being unaware, or is it a case of, I suppose, people like yourselves who are strategic and understand these things aren't really becoming, honest enough with clients? Or you find that where there's color, where color psychology was a little bit of a problem, is it maybe because people did it themselves? We went to Canva and all these other platforms, and then they did it themselves and forgot to look at things like color psychology.
So yeah, the color psychology, I can say it's on the education part. Like, people don't really, I mean, if you're just, for example, you are starting your business, you don't really know much about these things. And the challenges that we face, especially in my job, and I always fight with clients, this thing where someone wants to start a business and they are consulting on what logo they should get and stuff like that. And then when we are creating that brief before starting work, someone chooses a color just because it's their favorite color. I'm like, no. I'm like, I love pink, but then pink doesn't really apply to your accounting firm.
Yes.
Why should we use it? Yes, it's your favorite color, but the color psychology applies in terms of the intentionality and the use of the brand, you know, like merge with what you are doing, also fit in that ecosystem in terms of your other competitors. There is no point of you having a pink logo, and then it affects other things as well as credibility and trustworthiness. Like, clients can't trust you because you're an accounting firm, but your logo looks like a primary school or a creche. So,
Howless, you just had to be that dry and cutthroat and be like straight to the point.
It's one. The thing is, color psychology, if those who know me know, it's one thing that I preach about the most.
I'm sure you go through a lot, through the breathing through the wound when you sit with clients. You're like, no, man, pink is not, it's not gonna work here. And then, no, I want my pink. No, I get that you want your pink, but your pink is not gonna work. Now, you mentioned something that was interesting for me. You said it must be simple but not plain. Kausfundi. So, what's the difference there?
All right. So, I can say, it has to be simple but versatile. Hey, I'm not sure if people will get the word.
Hey, you just went from English to higher English now. And it must be versatile.
Yeah, it has to be simple but still be effective in terms of communication. Because remember, a logo is all about communication. So if it's not communicating anything, even if it's simple as possible, then there's no use. So your logo has to be. So, for example, I'll take at the top of my head. And I was looking today that Amazon is officially in South Africa. Look at the Amazon logo, right? It's a simple logo, very simple, but I think it's one of those logos that have the greatest communication ever, because the word A up until Z, there is an arrow, right?
Yeah.
Sort of represents the whole philosophy of Amazon, that we are selling anything between from A to Z, anything you can. So it's a simple logo that is communicating effectively. That's what I mean. it has to be simple, but also communicate and be versatile in that way.
I get what you mean. There's a comment that says how guys, even Barbie needs an accounting firm. So, oh, Barbie now needs an accounting firm when I less how. That's why she's pink. So why are you excluding her from this? But I want to do this. I want to do this, Les. I think we are losing you on this particular line. So I'm going to try you on a different line. Is that fine?
Oh, okay. It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
We're going to try Les on a different line because I think this one is crackling a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I agree. Upabina needs a little bit of an accounting firm, right? She's not just pink, but she also needs an accounting firm. Okay, so it seems like we are losing Les there. Let's see if we can get him again on a different line because, my goodness, that one is just not playing ball with us. So let me do this while we are trying to connect with him. Okay, I think we've got Les on the line again. Let's try and see if this one will play ball with us. Can you hear me, Les?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Fantastic, I can hear you. So you were saying that it must be versatile, it must communicate a message, and you're using example with that Amazon, which is A to Z. And I didn't really see that, but in my mind, I can see exactly what you are talking about. I just Googled it now to also see. But it's just saying we've got you for everything, basically, from A to Z.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Love that. You find that people are using logos that say we'll take you from Z to A, and they're not aware of it. You're actually communicating that you're taking people backwards. You're trying to be progressive, eh?
Yeah. That's true. There are actually some case studies where some logos, people just designed something and they didn't the message they were sending, and they had to rebrand.
Yeah, that's bad. Now tell me, I have seen and I've heard in certain territories and in certain countries where there's certain things that you can't use as a logo because they tend to communicate an unsavory message, or that particular animal or whatever is tied to some or other ritual or whatever. Do you find the same things as well, especially here in South Africa?
Well, in South Africa, there's no much restriction in terms of that. We sort of have so much freedom, creative freedom in design. But there are countries where you can't use, for example, America is associated with the eagle and stuff. Yeah. So you really can't use those type of elements. Lines, but I think last year I was reading on this other article. There are countries like where it's not just on a design element or an artwork, but even on color, right? You are not allowed to use certain color combinations because they may trigger. There are those people who get triggered in terms of color. They are sensitive to color in terms of and stuff, and there wasn't actually a company that was fine for using type of loud colors and stuff. So there are type of those things, and but for that one, yes, a client like you can read up on it, but it's up to your designer and your brand agencies to sort of educate and teach you on that. We can't use these certain type of things, so yeah.
Siyacela man, Leslie, nibositshela, nibosibonise. I'm like, no man, don't do this one. It's going to land you in hot waters there. Now, talking about that as well, the evolution, because I really, when I saw this, I was like, this is interesting, because I suppose, like I said, I'm pretty much of a novice in this particular space and just the entire social media on its own. But talking about then the evolution of logo design, what has been some of the trends that you've seen over the years, and what is it that's really driving those trends?
Okay, so basically the trends have moved from simple. We started with simple, then we went to some complex kind of, but now we're also going back to simple. Like, you know how the world does this thing where we just keep recycling stuff. So simple again. And I think one of the driving factors of those things is there's something called globalization, right? So we're moving into a community.
Yeah.
So for what it means for brands is, as we're moving to one global community, we need to be sort of identical as a family. Like in most South African malls right now, remember when those locals that are in malls, there will be different colors and stuff like that, and they'll be on the walls and stuff.
Yeah.
But if you check right now, the trend is everyone is moving to black and white on those malls.
Ooh, they're just okay.
If it's Game, Woolworths, Pick and Pay, they will all be displayed as black and white. Right. That is a move in terms of globalization for us, for all brands to be sort of identical and exist in one ecosystem. Nothing is different from the other. So that's the trend we are seeing currently. I mean, the evolution, it started with sort of in the 20th century. That's when we started seeing the minimalism. Yeah. You saw also the introduction of typography, where brands like Coca-Cola started using their distinctive typography.
Yeah.
That this is a Coca-Cola, even if they show you a small part of it.
Yeah.
So that has been the trend, and up until now, also the trend is going on that minimalism.
I see. And
so most brands are actually stripping down. It's a thing where most people complain that why are brands getting more boring and stuff like that, but it's all part of joining the global market. If you check, brands are moving into right now what we are at right now currently is right. So they want the brands to sort of tell a certain story in as minimal as possible. So if you check, brands like Nike have stripped off the wedding Nike, and they've left only. Brands like Apple have got rid of Apple with the Apple symbol only. So that's where we are at currently, where basically you've reached the pinnacle of branding and marketing, where people identify you without seeing your name, right? So Amazon, by seeing that smile only, without seeing the Amazon full logo, that's where we are currently, right? So you currently, if you are starting a business or whatever, or you are already rebranding, just know that you are, when your designer sends you something as minimal as possible, don't think that they
didn't do their job.
They're lazy and didn't do their job. Like, that your brand is better off if it's minimal as possible, and people can that's the current trend right now.
That's interesting. I want us to then talk about the issue of adaptation, I suppose, of more mature brands, because I think for new business, early startups might be easy, might be flexible and agile enough for them to rebrand if they need to. But we've got some long established ones. What is it that they need to do? But before we get into that one, I must just say that I think it's an article that I read, one of these videos around branding and all that. I'm a big fan of marketing as a storyteller, telling a story. I think issues around branding and how your corporate identity looks actually becomes part of that. But I read somewhere or heard someone saying that these big brands that you're referring to, for example, the reason why they've got some staying power, and not only in their host countries or countries of origin, but across the world over, is exactly what you're saying, where they've stripped off certain words, because they don't want those words to be misinterpreted or misunderstood in other parts of the world. And when you have a name and a logo that's more domestic, in other words, that's more South African, that's more Nigerian, that's more Ghanaian and all that, you are almost curtailing, in a way, your own growth, because then only people within that geography can resonate with that. Like, for example, we've seen quite a lot of brands that use vernacular names. here yeah. in South Africa, for example. And someone was saying they can't really grow into international markets because someone who cannot say "kunku" in China won't relate to a "kunku" brand from Eastern Cape that wants to open up shop somewhere in China. But a tick from Nike, for example, you know, is more relatable because it's just a tick and they don't really have to say anything. And it's exactly what you are saying. So my question before we look at adaptation is, would you agree with that view that by looking at domestic names, domestic brands, identity, we are curtailing our own growth?
I can somewhat to an extent, I can somewhat agree to a certain point. Mm. That's true. Basically, if you are more indigenous, you will be limited, especially when you want to scale. And I think I left it there on the intro when I was opening that what would marker for a good logo, for a good brand is scalability.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
How best can you scale it? So if you are using sort of local indigenous word marks or whatever, you hinder your growth. Mm. But also, it depends. I can say it also depends.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about strategy, remember. If you have a solid strategy, there is a way where you can commercialize your brand to the world.
Yeah.
It's all about how you strategize it. And I think one of the successful brands who have done this are the luxurious brands. So, for example, Maxhosa.
Yeah.
Maxhosa is indigenous. But I think those guys had one of the most solid strategies where to sort of break that that barrier that was limiting them.
Yeah.
And it's all a good strategy. But now the trick is getting the right people to do your brand or your rebranding because definitely if you do it on your own on Canva, I'm telling you, you won't succeed. So you will need then a proper brand strategy, people gonna roll out in a more better way to the world. So it 300%, but it also depends. It now comes down to strategy.
Yeah.
What strategy? Yeah. Because I mean, in terms of people understanding or translating, there's the rise of AI right now, and I think it's covering that gap in terms of making us communicate better. But then again, I can. Depends on strategy.
I wanted to go back then to the issue of consistency in different platforms. I suppose you're talking about pixelating, you know, logos here when they go to different platforms and how they appear on a desktop versus on a cell phone. Hey, LinkedIn Zima, Marie-Leslie, it really is a difficult one, isn't it? Especially for startups and small businesses who might not necessarily have the money to pay for a professional designed thing. And then this thing on a cell phone, it looks completely different to when one is looking at it from a desktop.
Yeah. So this is why we always sort of preach on getting the right people for the right job.
And
because in as much as you're a startup and it's difficult, when people can see whatever you're putting out there, it's difficult. So try by all means to get people who do the job. And it's also depends on softwares, right?
Yeah.
Right now, the trend is when people, they are looking for designers and stuff like that, they now specify that we need someone who's going to work on Adobe Suite or someone who's going to work on Figma or whatever. They do that now to solve that problem of having a logo that is not consistent, because if you do it on these apps that are available on your phone or whatever, they may be fine to you, but then when you put it and send it to me, or I want to print it on a billboard, it then falls behind because it's not format, it's not the correct size,
pixelates, it was just, and all that. Sure,
you need proper software, and that will help you in the long run, even if You may think it's expensive, but cost of fixing those mistakes is even more expensive.
Yeah, sure. Now, that's very true. I mean, we've seen a lot of pixelating logos, you know, put them in a Word document, whew, becomes something something completely different to when they're sitting on a PowerPoint presentation, and never mind even on social media, they are pulled into different directions because of the way they are done. Now, let's get to this one, which I wanted us to get to, which is, I mean, there are brands that have been around for a long period of time, and with the evolution of logo design that you've just mentioned, you know, color psychology, plain, not being plain, you know, being simple, being memorable, and all those sort of stuff. How do they adapt to these changes? What's the easiest, cost-effective way to adapt?
So, in my opinion, the established brands, there are some ways it's difficult for them to adapt or to transition. But in my experience, I can say it's easy for them.
Okay.
It's easy to adapt or transition, mainly because of the competition, right? Mm. So it's easy for them to want to fit or compete with the other players.
Yeah.
It's difficult for the startups, the ones that are starting, because as I said before, the startups or small business owners want, when they talk about personalization, they feel like it's something that has to satisfy them, and they forget the end user, the other customer on the other hand. So for established brands, it's easier, but it's easier through agencies like us who do the consulting and help them transition and create a proper brand identity guidelines that sort of help them see where we envision the brand is going to be.
But there's the risk to rebranding, isn't it, Leslie? Because I'm just casting a thought on a couple of businesses with that I've seen over the years where the rebranding was terrible, either because of the rebranding lost a certain number of customers who were attached to that brand because of legacy, for example, because of family ties and all those sort of stuff. And people then can relate to that particular business in how it was set up in the past, and the logos that then were I suppose, designed to really capture the essence of who they are. For example, you've got family businesses that have grown, have become multinational companies, and that logo, which is, you know, seen to be a legacy logo, once you change that, it's almost like you've lost half of your customers that could relate to you because they too resonate with family. They have principles around the family. Established brand around those legacy issues, how do they navigate this? Because, I mean, you do want to capture new clients, right? But the bulk of the new client are Gen Z's, AMA 2000 and all those sort of stuff, without necessarily losing your customer base that has made you to be this multinational company. It's a tough balancing act in there.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true, man. And can I tell you a story? I'll say it's all about communication, right? As I said. If your brand is still communicating what it's communicating, there's no need to change it. There's no need to rebrand. So if that logo still communicates whatever it is supposed to communicate, you don't have to change it. So the story that I'm about to tell you, I'm not sure if you know this clothing label called Gap, right?
Okay.
Gap tried to rebrand in 2010. Gap, in 2010, it had problems, right? Remember 2008 financial crisis?
Yes.
Gap also had scandals of using child labor and stuff like that. 2010, October 6th, they decided to rebrand and change that Square Gap logo, right? They changed the Square Gap logo to some fancy, nice logo, perfect. Like if you go Google it, you'll see that it's a very nice rebrand. And they spent around $100 million for it, like $100 million for that rebrand, October 6th. By October 12th, they had gone back to their old logo. It felt terrible when they lost $100 million because the rebrand was perfect. It was nice, but change it because the old logo was still a symbol that many customers related to.
Yes.
felt like the rebrand wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
The old logo communicated what it was supposed to communicate.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. A rebrand is risky. You need to do your proper research before doing it. And it all comes down to communication. What are you communicating? If what you are communicating still is represented in the change it. But then as well, communication also evolves, right?
Yeah.
So communicating in 2008 could be different in 2025. Then you might need to. So that's what I can say.
Yeah.
Comes.
That's definitely interesting. Okay, as you round this one off, and I think great insights there, as Leslie, appreciate that. Where do you see the evolution then of logo design taking us in the near future, and I suppose a distant one as well? You made a very interesting comment when we started that, it seems like everyone is going back to simplicity and all that. Do you see that, I suppose, still being the theme in the near future?
Yes, definitely. I see, because of where the world is going, I see minimalism and simplicity still being very much in the but also I think the introduction of dynamic interactive logos, because I'm sure you've seen right now on our streets in Joburg, you've seen we are sort of transitioning from traditional steel billboards to interactive billboards and stuff like that. So if you also check maybe on TikTok and other platforms, you'll see what other countries have to, where interactive dynamic designs are sort of now the trend, where things have to be live and moving. It doesn't have to be still in one place. So I think seeing that also joining the trend in the future, and also we can't speak about the future without speaking about AI, because AI is also here. It's here to stay, and we need to figure out a way to adapt in terms of design. And there is now the rise in terms of generative design, in terms of AI, when you tell this thing to create for you a logo and stuff like that. So I see those things being a trend. And someone said, will AI take our jobs? I really don't think so.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, so I think we're going to work hand in hand, because for you to generate a logo on AI, you need to know what brand guidelines and what representation do you need to use. Those AI can't figure out color psychology without you telling it that this is a food brand and I need food colors and stuff. So you will still need a lot of human element behind it. But I see AI playing a big part in terms of design, and people should just familiarize themselves with what's happening right now.
Yeah, that's interesting. Sure. I still say, Leslie, you've got a nice job, and we will get there one day to your level. But thank you so much, man, for joining us this evening. Really appreciate your time. Any final thoughts, and how can people get a hold of you if they want to use your services? Because I do think a lot of us and a lot of businesses do need this redesign of their logos.
Yeah. So I think what I can say in closing is strategy. It's nice having a nice logo, a cool, fun logo, but strategy is important. And a quick example, Kia, right? The Kia brand rebranded a few years ago. A very beautiful rebrand, but the strategy was terrible. People, first week of Kia's rebrand, people were searching KN because that's how. So, a good rebrand, but strategy-wise, strategy is very important. Yeah. You may have the knack for design.
Yeah.
You may have nice design ideas, nice colors, but all I can strategy, get people who can strategize your rebrand or your brand, and people who can see your brand in terms of where it's going to be. If you check on our website, our motto is we're building intentional brands for the future.
Yeah.
So we want to envision your brand 10 years from now. That's what I can say.
Yeah.
Closing. And where you can find us, it's Amahle Creatives everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, just search Amahle Creative. Google, just search Creative. You should be able to see us. Our website is amahlecreatives.co.za. And if you want to personally get in touch with me, we grab coffee and we design your brand strategy. You can send me an email at les@amahlecreatives.co.za.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you so much, Les, and have a good one. We shall chat again very soon.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Yep.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.